This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome back to the Simple Politics Podcast. It has been quite a busy week already.
Charlotte, stop.
Yes, Tam.
It's your birthday today.
Yes.
So I want to say happy birthday and I want to take some of the work off you to celebrate your birthday. So I thought I'd read this script, bit of the script that says welcome, so that you can just put your feet
okay,
up
thank you.
And enjoy Colin the Caterpillar. And I can see you're surrounded by balloons and you're wearing a party hat right now, quite rightly so.
And it's Bacardi in the mug.
There is Bacardi in the mug. Yeah. She's drinking Bacardi like it's her, it actually is her birthday. Yeah. What? 31 today. I'm allowed to share that. Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, okay. I mean, happy birthday. What a day. It should be a bank holiday, really.
It should, yeah.
It should, but, you know, maybe Labour will see the light if they get in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Simple Politics Podcast. It's been quite a week already. A lot's going on. And then it says team hellos. So, hello, Charlotte does this so much better than me, but she's currently feet up Bacardi drinking for her birthday. My name's Charlotte, and I'm joined today by Tatton and Diane.
Hello.
Tatton, how are you doing?
Hello.
Oh, I'm very well, thank you very much. Diane, how are you?
I'm very well too, yes. I'm going to do, what's the word? I'll do a Colin Caterpillar as well, just in solidarity today. Solidarity, I think, is the word. Birthday, yes.
I think listeners need to get out there right now, wherever your nearest M&S is, pick up a Colin, or is it Cedric?
Clive, there's lots of them.
Clive, Colin's the original. Like, wherever you are, it's cake time, because Charlotte is 31.
Woo!
Right, so that's team hellos. What's next on the script? And remember, giving whatever you can to support the podcast on Patreon keeps us going. So I'm not being sincere, because I do love our Patreon backers. Our Patreon backers are amazing, and they help us. They help us financially, and that's amazing. We've got this lovely community on there. Like, you can join the community for like £3 a month. If I'm entirely honest with you, right now, the Patreon isn't big enough to make a huge difference to us every month. It's wonderful, but the support, knowing you're out there, loving the podcast, being with us, buying Collins on Charlotte's birthday, like, that's amazing. And I mean, the money really helps, and you know, because it's not free to edit this podcast, it's not free to work, kind of thing. It really, I mean, the money really, really helps, but it's that support that really keeps us going. Anyway, I better finish the script. A Patreon keeps us going, so thank you. Check out what you can get for as little as £3 a month at patreon.co.uk/simplepolitics. Right, that's the introduction done. We should move on to the top posts of the week.
Okay, Tatton. Thank you very much for giving me the time to finish my coffee. But there'd been no point in me getting out of bed this morning if you're going to take over. So... I could still be lying in there having a nice... Oh, I was going to say birthday lying, but to be fair...
Charlotte, it's really hard. It's really hard doing what you do.
It's really not.
Like, I just tried it out. It was so difficult.
It's the easiest job, because I just sit here and listen to you talk. Anyway, let's move on to the first section, which is the top post of the week. So this is where we look at the most popular posts on the page this week. Tatton, what was in at three?
In at three was a difficult one for me personally. last Friday, Rishi Sunak called a press conference in the morning, and I wasn't like, it was vaguely trailed. It just kind of hit me for six. So we spend as a country £68 billion a year on supporting working age people who are not in work. And that number is going up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And it's predicted to be $100 billion by 2030. And it's and $69 billion is already more than our education budget, right? It's a massive problem. Not only is it really expensive, but all of those people who aren't working aren't contributing to the economy in the same way. They're not helping us grow. They're not helping with our productivity and all of this. There is a genuine problem here. And Rishi Sunak was like, I'm gonna weigh in and try and solve it. I mean, some of it's just ludicrous because he's like, oh, in the next, after the election, in the next parliament, I'm going to introduce this, the fraud bill. It's like, do you think you're going to be introducing bills in the next election? I mean, maybe a private member's bill, but he's not, he ain't going to be, I mean, the chance of him being prime minister are vanishingly small. So part of it is just, is just saying what he would like to happen, all of which makes sense. But what was hard for me was the way he spoke about mental health issues. And it reflected what I was told when things were really tough with me. There was an element from a few NHS professionals that were like, you're not in enough. To, you know, one person said to me, we only deal with serious mental health issues here. And this was after I dropped out from work. I couldn't work anymore. This was after, I mean, I'm not going to go through the worst symptoms, but it was bad. And then for the Prime Minister to stand up there and kind of talk about these things using the exact same language, I found very, very difficult. I was crying on Friday.
Yeah.
Rishi Sunak made me cry. Mm. And it really didn't help with the rest of the debate, because there is a problem here that needs solving. But if you're using language like that about sick note culture and all of this, that's dismissive of the people that are ill, that's a problem.
Mm.
So we need to find a way to help people who can do a bit of work in to do a bit of work, because that gets them out the house as well as anything else. Not only does it help with their money, it helps them socialize and it helps get, but because it, let's face it, if you're on PIP, you haven't got really very much money. Mm. You're in the house most of the time. Because when you leave the house,
yeah,
it costs money, right? It costs money for a cup of tea in a way that doesn't cost money for a cup of tea at home, right? Whatever it is. Work is good. People who can work should be encouraged to work. But let's have this conversation without that language.
Mm.
Because it's, you're not going to get a decent grown-up debate discussion if you come out speaking in that way.
Yeah, agree. Tone is so important with this, absolutely. And also just the angle, sure, yes, it's a huge budget. It's a lot of money. Absolutely, no dispute there. But there will be some people for whom we're always going to have to provide a safety net because, I think you've got to look at different layers of this, you know, and there's a lot more causation and research to be done, I think. But yes,
there were a lot of stories, you know, being spoken about in the aftermath of this about, you know, people who, because we've got a backlog of waiting lists, you know, for both physical and mental health, people who started, you know, went to their GP with more minor mental health issue, like they were just starting to struggle, not being able to see the specialist that they needed to. And so that kind of developed to the point where they could no longer work. And similarly with physical health, you know, these the waiting lists to get the help that people need are now starting to create bigger problems that might put them off work when they originally didn't need to. when they first sought help. So there's lots of reasons. I mean, that's something I heard a lot after this, but
I think that the mental health change is a very slow process because there haven't been enough people trained. There hasn't been enough focus on it for such a long time that the government, I was doing an event with a Conservative MP back in 2018, and he was saying, we have already started training a lot of mental health nurses and a lot of more people, but it takes, and I was like, that's a really long term thing. What are we going to do now? And he was like, yes, it's long term because that's what we need. So there are more people coming through, but it takes a very, very long time. The state I had to be in before I was given access to secondary services. And then I managed to do okay. I've managed to bounce back mostly. But the people I was in there with, people in my circle, the people I was on courses with, the people, I hope they're okay now. I haven't seen them since, but several of them won't be able to go to work.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure they're looked after.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Right. Well, what was our second most popular post of the week, Diane?
Okay, something completely different. Again, kind of blindsided us last week on this. Fatbergs. Let's just say that. Okay, this is about wet wipes, but specifically wet wipes that contain plastic. They're going to be banned UK-wide. That's a good, good thing. But it has taken quite a long time to get there. I think, God, this maybe 2018 or around that time, this kind of conversation started to happen. And it's basically because they clog stuff up and they are horrendous. And it costs a lot of money to go in and sort stuff out when they have blocked up sewers. 90% of sewage blockages are from wet wipes flushed down the loo. That's incredible.
Goodness.
I know. Even though, like, everywhere you go, there are signs saying don't put anything other than toilet paper down this toilet. You know, people, I guess there must still be people doing it at home. I don't know. But yeah, incredible. So to stop the sale and supply of these would be great. It's worth saying that some big retailers already took this action because it was taking quite a while to do the whole legal process thing. So you've got people like Boots, who are generally quite ahead of the curve on this, and Tesco's, they'd already stopped this. So they'd already taken them off their shelves, which is cool. And now everyone will have to. The legislation will be in before the summer in England, and then it will be autumn for Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, who have all agreed to do it as well as a united UK thing. So a win for the environment. Obviously, you always get people who say we could go a tiny bit further, and manufacturing isn't in this legislation as far as we know. So seal and supply, sure. Could you still manufacture them and export? Possibly. You know, but it's a good thing, and it's time, long time coming. So hooray.
Yeah. I mean, it's so frustrating because the wet wipes aren't the problem. People flushing them is the problem.
It's the behavior, right?
Like, if you just put them in the bin, I mean, that would, you know, still single use plastics, but then once the plastic's taken out, still don't flush them.
Yeah.
Still do not flush wet wipes. Also on this post, we had a banner saying buy us coffee. We're doing that more often now. And someone said, you buy your own coffee, you wet wipe. which made me chuckle.
Oh, we love a good heckler.
I think it's the first time I've been called many things, but a wet wipe is new. But at least there won't be a plastic containing wet wipe. I think what's extraordinary is the amount of time it's taken, because this could be, so private members' bills are new laws suggested by individual MPs, and they tend to be single, like there's one at the moment, like going to ban, make it harder to kidnap pets or something like that.
Yeah, there is.
It's like one single issue is a private members' bill. Banning wet wipes could have been a private members' bill. You don't have to take up government time. A private members bill years ago. It's such a simple thing, but it's happening, so that's good.
Nice. Tatton, what was our most popular post of the week?
Oh, I love SPs. I love the whole SP family. They're wonderful. There's a really important bill this week called the Renters Reform Bill, and it's looking to ban Section 28 evictions, where no fault evictions, where the landlord just like wants you out because you're not paying, you know, they want more rent or whatever, and then you leave and then they've got nowhere else to go. And it's, I mean, no fault evictions are awful. And that's what this bill does. And Diane wrote an excellent post about that. And literally nobody cares.
Yeah.
But a small extra bit of the bill is that you will have renters will have a presumed right to have a pet at home, mm-hmm. and the landlord basically has to say yes unless there's some real circumstances. And so I made a very silly post about that. I put lots of animals on it, and the SP family went wild for it. So
I can't believe the clip art animals did better than my serious political post.
I mean, no fault evictions are so terrible. And this government are kind of doing it and kind of not. And that's really interesting. And Labour are saying not going far enough, all this stuff. But no, it was the pets. But I do get it, because most people will not have a no fault eviction against them. Mm. Right? It's academic for most people that shouldn't. These things shouldn't happen. Everyone agrees they shouldn't happen. But most people will never be in that situation. Whereas lots of people rent and lots of people would like to have a pet. So, I mean, it's just what impacts people. Anything that has a direct impact on people will get people interested and people talking. Mm.
My friend's really recently been looking at the rental market, which is really tight in holiday areas anyway.
It's tight everywhere.
But yeah. And then when you narrow that down to, I've got a pet and I've got a child, oh my goodness, like you pretty much deselect yourself from the market. So
yeah. My friend's gone through a similar thing in a city where a very small city in Lancaster is, you know, and she struggled in a way that I previously thought you could only really struggle in like London or Manchester, because the rental market's just so, and yeah, she's got a pet and a child.
Yeah.
And she couldn't find, it's just awful. And so this is why I'm wondering how this will work in practice, because surely it's not okay to say you can't have a child and yet landlords do. So I don't know.
Do they?
Mm. Yeah, they do.
Landlords turn people away because they got a job.
Yes.
Well, I suppose that is the loophole for landlords in this. If you have to accept a pet once a tenant is in and they apply for it, it's like you have to do it in writing. It's all quite a formal thing. Although I presume that's only in the worst case scenario.
Mm.
In the best case scenario, you ask your landlord by text and they go, yeah, sure. But if you've got a difficult situation, you have to do it in writing, say what pet's going to be, get insurance, do all that. And they kind of have to say yes. But if you're coming to them with a pet, they can turn you down in a way they couldn't if you got in and applied.
I think so.
I mean, they can just say no. Yeah. So it might be good for people who are currently renting, but if you're moving with a pet, it's harder.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put your guinea pig somewhere for like 2 days and then apply.
Yeah.
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 Basically. I think it is easier to hide the fact you have a pet than it is to hide the fact you have a child. So, you know.
Very true. Very true.
But yeah, we'll see how it works in practice.
I hope that people who just want a pet can have pets. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing, right?
I just hope people are allowed to live how they would like to when they're paying to live there. Yeah. But that's, you know.
Yeah, I think the point that was made several times in the comments and several times in the House of Commons, because I was watching a debate yesterday, is that this is the tenant's home.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, sure, it might belong to the landlord, sure, but it's the tenant's home. And that that means something. And mm-hmm. all these rules, you know, you can't put wallpaper, or, you know, you can't hang art sometimes, or you yeah. can't do whatever. It makes you feel like it's not your home.
Exactly. Yep.
And again, there's inequality there, because people can afford a mortgage, people can afford to own their own home, can do whatever they want. Mm. And once again, we see structural inequality in the system.
Yeah. Right, let's...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Move on to our favorite part of the podcast. It's the mailbag. This is where we answer your questions. First up this week, we have a question from Liam, who points out that his girlfriend is called Emily. He's trying to...
Oh, hi, Emily.
Yeah. I guess we'll...
Not speaking to you, yeah. Liam. I'm only speaking to yeah. Emily.
So, Liam/Emily asks, what does it mean when someone has the whip or has the whip removed? And he also says, keep up the great work. So maybe we will talk to Liam and not just to Emily.
Oh, go on then, Liam. Yeah. This is really technical, the whip. And it's just one of these things that political journalists do really badly, because they use these terms all the time and nobody really knows what it means. So the whips, it's an old hunting term, an old fox hunting term. And the whips are the people who, from their horses, in their fancy clothes, they whip the hounds into a pack. Right. And then so they make the hounds do the right thing so that they can go and find the fox that they want to, you know, hunt. And for a very long time in Parliament, the whips have been the people who tell the MPs how to vote. So if you're a Conservative MP, your whips will tell you, like they will, like if they're on horse with actual whips, they will put you into formation and tell you where to go. Because when you vote in the House of Commons, you walk down a corridor. There's two corridors called the lobbies. There's two corridors, and you walk down one for yes or aye, and one for no or no, but spelled differently. And the whips will literally stand at the entrance of the corridor and say, you're coming in here, pal. And all the Conservatives or Labour, I mean, all the parties, I'm using the Conservatives mm-hmm. as the government, have to go and go where the whips tell them to. Mm-hmm. You could be anywhere. Part of the point is you can be anywhere on the parliamentary estate. You can be in your office, you'd be having a meeting, you could be in a select committee, mm-hmm. and you have to walk into the House of Commons, and you don't really know what the debate's been because you've been doing some other really good work, really important work elsewhere. And the whips are therefore helping you understand what the Conservative position is, and on you go through. And it can be, I mean, the whips are a dark art. They can, I mean, this famously, they can blackmail MPs into doing what they want them to do. They can, I mean, they can be physically menacing. I mean, imagine it, the entrance to a corridor.
Yeah.
A big beefy whip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's something like, it's like, you know, it's like a club entrance, except you have to go in rather than you're not coming in.
It doesn't sound okay. This does not sound okay.
Like... Oh, mate, of course it's not okay. But this is Parliament. This is all based on centuries of tradition. And so, if you have the whip, it means you have to do what you're a Conservative MP and you have to do what the Conservative whips say. If you have the whip removed, mm-hmm. you are no longer a Conservative MP. Again, I'm just using this party because they were in the government. You're no longer a Conservative MP and you don't have to do what the whips tell you, and you can do what you want. I mean, most of the time when someone has the whip removed, they still vote with their party. Mm. They still, you know, because they don't suddenly disagree. So when someone's been bad or is under investigation because they might have been bad, they have the whip removed, and, you know, the party basically washes their hands of them.
Mm, it's a way of disowning
and they
them,
sit as
right?
Independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way of disowning them. You're not in our gang
yeah.
anymore. And that's, that's what's happening a lot at the moment. There's so many independent MPs. Mm. So Jeremy Corbyn was removed from the Labour Party. He doesn't have the Labour whip anymore. He can do whatever he wants. He still votes with the Labour Party pretty much every time because his values are still more aligned with the Labour Party than the Conservative Party. Mm-hmm. But that's an example of someone who yeah. had the whip removed and is now an independent MP. He is not a Labour MP. Yeah.
I didn't know it came from hunting. There we go. That's something new.
Oh, we know where to come for obscure parliament facts. There we go.
Lovely avid listener Benjamin has asked, are police and crime commissioners necessary? If so, are they effective? Now, Tatted, I'm going to limit your answer to 3 minutes, okay? Because otherwise we'll be here for hours.
Well, and will I've I go got first?
Cake and to eat.
What? Yeah. Will I tell you what?
Yeah, Diane, you go first.
I'll go first, and then you can go free range after that. I think maybe just to point out what a PCC is, because to be honest, a few years ago, I probably didn't know what a PCC is or did or why it came about, but it's been around, and it's been in Conservative manifestos around this thing of trying to give a bit more public influence to the police force, right? So that's the aim of it, because the police is seen as such a, you know, something where we don't really have much input or say. So elect this person who will then help do things like, so what they can do stuff with budgets, they can do stuff with police priorities, like a crime plan for your area. And I think they can elect and hire and fire the chief constable as well, or certainly be involved with that. So that's the kind of stuff they can do. So in principle, it sounds kind of like a good idea. And some mayors do that. Some mayors do that anyway. But where you don't have a mayor who does it, you get a PCC. And this is England and Wales only. Scotland and Northern Ireland don't have that at the minute. So what do we think of them though, Tatton?
The whole thing is just an absolute disgrace. Wow. It's so terrible, right? I am all for the police having some kind of democratic accountability so that the people can say, this is how we want to be elected. This is what matters for us. But it just doesn't work. The first PCCs came in 2012, 2013, that kind of time, maybe 2014. And they had standalone elections. It was a brand new post, How exciting, democratic accountability of the police. Mm-hmm. They completely failed to tell anyone what it was. It was at a year when there was no other elections going on, and they got 18% turnout in some places. If you have 18% turnout, and let's say the winner of the election gets half the votes cast, which they won't, half the votes is a huge amount. If they get half the votes cast, that is a 91% of the electorate that have not voted for their police and crime commissioner. So this isn't democratic accountability. This is a total waste of time and space. The mayoral system, where the police are under the mayor and the mayor is democratically elected and people know the mayor's name and people are involved, that makes sense. Mm. This standalone nonsense is worse for democracy than if it didn't exist. Because we have people with political agendas because they stand for political parties. It's a political position that nobody votes for.
You're meant to swear independence, though. You're meant to.
Oh, I'm sure, but you're going to be real. When you stand for re-election, you're still going to be going to go back to being a party candidate.
Yeah. But then, so we'd need mayors for everywhere. We'd need.
Yeah, I want a mayor of East Kent for sure. I think that mayors for every area should have the term metro mayor. Every area should have one person who is elected who represents the values of that area. Because then we can have a clear system. Get rid of this parish council, district council, county council. Get rid of it all. It's meaningless. No one understands it. No one understands where to go. If each area had a mayor, there is that clear accountability. And then, you know, like all like London and the West Midlands and Manchester, they all have like a council that scrutinise their work. Mm. And the system works. The police and crime commissioners are damaging to our country because the elections don't work. And they're electing politicised people over nothing. And I had a look at the Kent people the other day, and they were, I mean, obviously they're all older white men, but their pledges were all just kind of vague platitudes. We want fewer crimes. We want less antisocial behaviour. We want violence against women and girls. Oh, we don't like that. Oh, yeah, we're going to sort that. But it doesn't say how, because that's not their role. I'm going to shut up now because it really upsets me, because I believe in voting. I believe in democracy, but this isn't democracy. Unless we throw some money at it and everyone, you know, posters around the place, stuff through the door so we can have informed decision, and then people can start to make a choice rather than the 25 people in Kent who turn up and vote and just vote with the party they always vote for. That's a disgrace.
There we go. Yes. Not quite sure how Tatton feels there, but let's leave that ambiguity and move on to PM Watch. So what has Sunak been up to this week?
Oh, it's been a political fight back. Here he comes. Cometh the hour, cometh the Rishi. Well, he started off last Friday by talking about, like we say, the very real problem, £68 billion for working age people. And then on Monday, it was Rwanda, and he did a press conference. I'm not quite sure why he did a press conference, rather than just going to the House of Commons chamber and delivering. Like, it wasn't like national, but I want more press conferences, so it's fine, whatever. Flight's going to leave in, 9 to 11 weeks.
Yeah. July, effectively July, isn't it? So
July, yeah. And then we had the wet wipe announcement, although that's not been in Parliament. It was announced on gov.uk. So it's odd to do what's clearly quite a popular move and not tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
it's strange. And then off we went to Poland on St. George's Day, and the journalists and Rishi Sunak ate St. George's Cross cupcakes, although I don't know that, because the picture I saw two pictures and they were just all on trays. I didn't see anyone eating them, so they may just have been decorative. Another announcement, £500 million more to Ukraine, and this is after America just announced like loads of money for Ukraine, and that's on top of the 2.5 billion or what, it's on top of what we're already spending. There is a chance that with all this extra money and arms, Ukraine can fight back to the point where they might be able to talk on more reasonable terms. If they sued for peace now, if they went for peace now, it would just be whatever Putin wanted, would have to be the peace deal, peace treaty. But if these extra arms can fight back a little bit, then there could be talks that would be better for Ukraine. I mean, there's got to be talks at some point. They can't just keep being at war, surely. Anyway, but Rishi also announced that we're going to spend billions and billions and billions and billions more on defense, because we live in a world now where armed forces are necessary, he says. And we didn't, there was a long time when we talked about, there was a debate about cutting the armed forces substantially, because who are we going to go to war with? Mm-hmm. And now we're like, oh, we're going to go war with everyone. We need more armed forces. So we're uplifting that, and Labour agree with that as well. So that's going to stay under Labour. And we're recording on Thursday morning. It's the 25th of April. Obviously it is, because everyone knows the 25th of April is Charlotte's birthday. That's when we're recording. And who knows what's going to come up today and tomorrow. It was supposed to be week. It was billed as a week of announcements. We had announcements on Monday and Tuesday, and then he was in Germany on Wednesday and didn't announce anything. So we'll see if it turns out that it was 2 days of announcements. There was an announcement on Friday as well, to be fair. So it just beats it. I mean,
yeah,
3 days of announcements.
Yeah. We'll see.
But the thing is, none of it makes a difference in the poll.
No.
He can announce anything. He could come out and, you know, declare world peace or whatever. I mean, who knows? Or free Bacardi on your birthday.
Shifting the dial, is it? Not defense spending isn't shifting the dial for most people, is it? You know?
No. But at least he's trying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. And he is, like, in America, the president knows they're not president anymore while they're still president for a bit, right? Then they do all the things. Barack Obama did more in his final few months, final few weeks, than he did for this whole 8 year presidency. And this is partly Rishi Sunak is trying to take on the big issues while he's still around. He knows the polls. He knows what's going to happen.
I guess he must be hoping that some of it sticks, right? So, like, the defense spending is going to stick because Labour won't backtrack on that. But we know that
smoking is going to stick.
But some things won't. So Rwanda, we know that Labour will stop flights if they win. So it's interesting. But I guess throw enough stuff, see what sticks.
I think there's also, and I'm thinking out loud now, an element of building an arms chest so that when you have a TV debate with Keir Starmer, you can say, we're doing Rwanda. What are you going to do? We're cutting that 68 billion. What are you going to do? Yeah. We're the ones that, so everything he's doing now, all the big problems or whatever, he's putting out policies that he can then hit Starmer over the head with when it comes to be time for that, I suppose.
Yeah. We'll look forward to that then. So that's what's happening this week. What is in your crystal ball? What do you think is happening over the next week, Tatton?
There are elections. We got elections. I love elections. I love elections. Not PCC ones because they're shit.
But you should vote anyway.
But I'm still vote anyway. I'm going to vote. I'm going to enjoy the peace and quiet of being the only one in the polling station. Elections. They've got the mayoral elections. You've got a Blackpool South election, which Labour have got to win. You've got, I mean, eyes on West Midlands. Will Andy Street hold on? That's a huge turning point. Ben Houchen is a huge turning point as well. We've got, I mean, all kinds. Council elections will drip through. I was reading that Labour want to win 350 new seats to be a success, and the Conservatives want to hold to 200 losses, and they'll think that's all right. So those 350 and 200 are numbers to look out for.
So
there.
So keep an eye on the page to see what happens there. Diane, what's in your crystal ball?
Oh, same. Can't wait for Friday morning. We'll be around from very early doors, and then Saturday for London Mayor that comes through a little bit later.
Very exciting. So yeah, all kicking off next week. We hope to see you then. Thank you very much, Tatton and Diane.
Thank you very much. Bye, 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 bye.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bye.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.